Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello everyone, it is Red Men Radio time. I'm joined, of course, by Mr. Christopher Pager.
Hello everybody!
You're alive, but not necessarily well.
I'm alright.
Yeah, apologies for any, for snuffling. We're not looking for truffles. Chris is just looking for oxygen to enter his body via his face. Kick-off question this week comes from Lee Carter, at Lee Carter Live.
It's a twat of a question.
This is a doozy of a question. I really, really like this one. This is not one of the ones that we've been able to just crap out like we do on so many of the questions that we get off the cuff. We have to take a little bit of a think on this. He says, imagine there were teams of continents instead of countries, Europe versus South America. Chris is manager of South America and Paul is manager of Europe. Swap, if you like. First 11 for both your teams. What formation and whose team would win? Now, you've respectfully requested the European manager's job.
Yeah, I don't think my South American football knowledge is great. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it's fine. I don't think outside of Liverpool, my knowledge in general isn't fine. So I was fucked either way. But at least I know that Messi's South American, so that's helped me immeasurably.
Okay, cool. What have you got? I've gone for David De Gea in goal because it was between David De Gea and Neuer, and David De Gea, I see, makes so many more world-class saves than Neuer. Not saying he's better, he's the guy that I see make more saves.
Okay, cool. I've got Ederson in goal, not even like he's Brazil's first choice. Alisson gets
him, I suppose. But you see how good he is.
Exactly, he's brilliant. And there's a couple of these where I've made a couple of decisions in this team where if I was to go on name and reputation, players would be in, but I've kind of had to temper it to some extent. Go on, who have you got at right back?
Joshua Kimmich from Bayern Munich. Okay. I mean, he's quality, you know what I mean? He can play across the back line, he can play defensive midfielder. He come in for Philipp Lahm, and if you take Philipp Lahm's place in Bayern Munich history, I just think he's absolutely brilliant. And, you know, young lad, he's probably the one on here where you might question the decision, mm-hmm. Because there are so many experienced right backs, but the guy's doing it at a fucking high level right now.
Yeah.
He's the future of my European 11, I think, down that right hand side.
Amazing. I just need to highlight this point that you know, even if you're watching the video version of this podcast on the redmentv.com, you won't have seen this. Remember Mission Impossible, where Tom Cruise has to contort his body around lasers and stuff like that? Si just had to do that to get across the room because we've repositioned the lights or something, and he's very nicely.
He's just broken the alarm. Alarm's going off.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic work. I've gone for Antonio Valencia. Dani Alves is the obvious answer in this regard. Both, neither of them particularly spring chickens, but I've gone on record in the recent weeks and months of talking about Valencia as being, if not the best right back in the Premier League, one of the consistently best ones. So yeah, it was a toss up. I've gone for Valencia in this particular instance.
Okay, I've gone for a controversial centre half partnership. And listen, you could have thrown Bonucci, you could have thrown Chiellini in here, mm-hmm. but I've gone for Ramos and I've gone for Piqué and count the trophies.
Yeah, exactly. It's not really controversial, is it? Because when you consider, I must admit, I've lent in some areas of this team towards international records as well. And I think there's, whilst yes, you could go down. In fact, to be fair, Chiellini and that have got international and league under the belt, but no, they've still got a few. Probably, I think they've got a couple of years on them.
The one for me is trophies. I never really rated Ramos mm-hmm. up until probably 3 years ago,
right.
when I just started seeing him more and more and been like, fucking hell, he's really developed from what he was as a younger player. And he's still rash, don't get me wrong. He still likes a red card more than everything, but he's actually a really solid defender as
he
well.
He wants to do a Spanish Cup under a bus as well, which is always a thing.
It's good.
So, on purely on paper, my centre-back partnership should be Godín and Thiago Silva. But I, for pure nostalgia value, I've thrown Javier Mascherano in at centre-half because I love him. I love him so much, and we're not going to get to see him very much because, of course, unfortunately, he's gone to China to kill his career.
How will that work with your squad? Like, are you okay with that? Are you fine
in terms of
are you going to have a little pet? Listen, you should be playing closer to me. I want to make sure I see you every week.
Let's just say we're playing today. Okay. You know what I mean?
It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Fine. You know, he's not really kicked on. They've not had a chance to ruin him yet. So he is very much a waning power, but I think this is the area.
For next season, are you seeing him as the future of your centre-back? Yeah,
look, you can start a blood Godín in, can't
you? We'll blood the youngster Godín in next year.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, who's your left back?
Jordi Alba.
Decent show. Marcello.
I think Jordi Alba is the second best left back in the world, and I think Marcello's the first best.
Yeah.
The first best.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. DM? What formation do you go for?
I've gone for 4-3-3.
Okay, cool.
I suppose. So I'll give you my three midfielders. Cool. In fact, no, I'll give you my DM, Kante.
Cool.
There ain't nobody better.
Yeah.
I think that's...
On his own?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Give me your midfield three and give me sort of discuss the balance of your midfield three.
All right. Kante's the balance of the midfield, if you will. And then I've gone all out attack with De Bruyne and Modric to try and get the ball back.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Modric just does that in between job nicely, doesn't he? And obviously, Bruyne's your attack. So, yeah, my two thoughts on this, I just wanted to basically shoehorned in. Suarez and told him he was playing in midfield.
Okay.
And Alexis Sanchez, but I opted not to.
So you've not played Suarez at all?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll come to that. So I've got Fernandinho anchoring because I know that I can trust him to be left to do everything because that's what he does for Man City. And I've got Dybala. And then depending on how attacking I want to be, it's either Arturo Vidal or Felipe Coutinho.
That wasn't me with the cold, that was actually Paul.
That was me at saying the name of PC's name. So again, you've got flair galore, goals galore.
I love
galore.
That Dybala shout. Like, I'm not sure how to put him in the side, and I think that might be your best pick. Mm. He's a quality top draw player. Like.
Three?
Ronaldo, Harry Kane and Eden Hazard.
Wow, because you were toying with a Lewandowski, Harry Kane two up top situation.
Yeah, and I spoke to a couple of lads upstairs. And I was going to go with just Kante and De Bruyne in the middle, and then basically Ronaldo, Lewandowski, Kane and Hazard, and say, have that, lads. Mm. I've tempered Lewandowski as my first sub at the moment. You know what? I feel like Harry Kane deserves to be in this side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just think he's absolutely brilliant and probably the striker to strike fear in the hearts of the international, the South American 11.
It's interesting because Ronaldo's been dreadful for Real Madrid this year, but actually for Portugal he's been amazing in terms of World Cup qualifying. I think he's got 15 goals.
He's Ronaldo.
Yeah, no, he's absolutely unbelievable.
It doesn't matter what form he's in. Mm. Just to be honest, I got the job because of him.
So my
he tells me where he's playing. In this instance, he's told me right wing.
Okay.
Just to fit everyone else around him. Okay, and I'm nothing more than a puppet.
So you would make Ronaldo play out of position over Eden Hazard?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Ronaldo used to play right wing, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Still comes off the right.
I would... Right, I've gone Messi from the right, Neymar from the left, and controversially, Edinson Cavani up front, because...
The link up with Neymar?
No, because, well, yeah, but also you've got the top goal scorer in South American World Cup qualification in Cavani and top assisted in Neymar, and as you say, they've got the domestic link. But I just think that thing of, because of that, and also just, it could have been Suarez, it could have been Bobby Firmino, it could have been Gabriel Jesus, it could have been Sergio Aguero, who is my favourite joint with Suarez, favourite of the lot. But yeah, just give us that similar reason for the Kane Lewandowski thing. He's just a complete centre forward, isn't he? He's big, he's all that, and he still scores goals despite the fact that he's dead old as well.
Yeah. Okay, so I suppose the second part of the question is, whose team would win? I reckon
I've damaged my team through my own personal choices. So I think your team would win.
You got Messi.
And Neymar.
Listen, you could play this game 100 times and it would be damn close.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of the two sides. So let's just say Chris wins.
Penalty. We win on penalties.
Not at all. All of them. Okay. Tell me not one of them is a good penalty taker.
But Harry Kane's English. He's not putting him in.
He's a 1 and 2.
Let's hope it's the two.
As we've seen.
Cool. Literally. So to come this week, we're going to go through news and brief in a moment. I'm going to talk a little bit about how the league table seems to be shaping up rather nicely for the Reds after recent results. We've got a little clip from a fantastic podcast Chris did with Mel Reddy talking about some very, very interesting things. Then we're going to talk about this proposed winter break and how it could or could help or hinder Liverpool and maybe even a bit of England. And then we're going to be taking your questions later on as well, including the need for Roberto Firmino to get a little bit more love from the cop, which stick with it. You'll find out what I'm on about there. News and brief then, Chris. Adam Lallana sent off within the 23s. What a tit.
Listen, if you're going to get sent off, you may as well make it worthwhile.
Yeah. If you, here's the thing. That was shocking. It wasn't like a push. Here's the thing. I would expect Adam Lallana to go full handbags at dawn in those situations. If you told me Adam Lallana had lost his rag, I would expect him to either just get up in the face and then be dragged away. You know, hold me back. Or to do a two-handed push. But He's gone Red Ross.
And listen, only maybe people our age will get that reference.
Yeah. Well, Netflix has got friends now, so all the millennials.
But will he have time to get up to that episode yet? Mm. I mean, you know, I think it's series 2 or 3. In fact, no, because Emily's in it.
Oh, yeah.
So series 5, maybe? Yeah, or so late 4?
Yeah, it's
only been on Netflix like a week and a half. I mean, you saying that young kids don't have families and shit, so maybe they have. We digress.
Yeah, we have.
Adam Lallana went full Red Ross and just completely and utterly lost it on the football field. Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about it because... One way I think that's ridiculous, you shouldn't be letting yourself get worked up like that. You've given that young lad exactly what he wanted out of going at you all game and stuff. But then equally the frustrations of being not being in the first team, coming back and then getting another little setback and stuff like that. I can understand why it's got to him. I don't agree with it. I don't think anything will come of it. I don't think anything should come of it. But it did happen and it was kind of funny.
It was, yeah. I think that...
You shouldn't beat up kids kind of way.
No, just to clarify, do not beat up. Don't beat up anyone. Don't beat up anyone. It's bad. It's just poor
form. Old people, kids. I mean, someone your own age, fine. Get in a YouTube boxing event.
Yeah.
Do it that way.
Yeah. Do it legally with referees if you have to, if you're really desperate for the views and the money. Speaking of which, Red Men spin-off. Red Men boxing. You'd win that. Although...
If I could reach your face.
You wouldn't need to. Body punches, mate. I'll be down. I think moral high ground in this situation. I'd like to see Liverpool... I'd like to see some discipline for them. You know, just as a message. I think, I think Liverpool have got to portray themselves as well as you possibly can. And that's not great. Not great for a senior player to go down and be caught in that kind of situation. I think it helps that it's Adam Lallana. I think it helps that he is a nice guy and he's a good professional. He's almost
altar boy like. You know, that's what he's been the rest of his Liverpool career. Apart from the Bournemouth thing, actually thinking about it.
Yeah, you mean goes to Lappies every weekend. Yeah. Well, that's maybe that's how you keep. Yeah, who knows? Modern day. He needs to. Yeah. Anyway, I think there's got to be something more to it than that. You know, and it's one of those situations where. I've seen someone mention like if this was a John Flanagan, like to just to continue to bash John Flanagan, you'd be more than up in arms about
it's
it.
Not John Flanagan.
It's not John Flanagan, and it's one of those situations where if someone, I keep saying this, and I said this about the Flanagan stuff as well, if someone does something that's completely out of character, then you've got to be able to pull them to one side and say, well, that's really out of character. Why are you behaving like that?
Exactly.
Someone will have gone to Adam Lallana, mate. What's going on there? And it's just like, listen, I got up this morning, I stubbed my toe, I had to put the baby's milk in for too long, and I burnt my arm on it, and then the baby cried for dead long.
Do you know, stubbed my toe 2 nights ago and drew blood on 3 of them. It was a hell of a stubborn.
Stub.
There needs to be a new word.
Kept me awake at
that.
Night.
That's a bludgeoning,
mate. Ridiculous. Honestly, I've never stubbed like it.
I did a thing where I was going up early for bed, and I got up and I had a drink in my hand, and I was walking round the bed to my side of the bed to put it on, and I kicked one of the wheels underneath the bed.
You're gonna do that. And not on your bed. It's massive. It ain't moving.
No, it's piano metal, isn't it? I managed to, and it's a testament to the fortitude of my character, that I managed to put my drink down on a chest of drawers before the baby's in asleep, curling up on the bed and silently screaming into the mattress. But yeah, I mean, look, just to get me digress, but yeah, it suggests to me that it might have longer standings. He was getting booted all game, apparently all game long, but he gets booted all the time. He's that type of player, isn't he? I could speculate maybe it's that he's not quite at the level that he wants to be at, so things were harder going for him. So he wanted to be able to get more out of these lads, and he was just finding the burden of it a bit too difficult or whatever. I don't know, but yeah, not good either way.
On a slightly separate note, if he's going to utilise that kind of a move, he needs to work on it as well, because it wasn't really good.
No, I know you need to do it. I've been in a similar situation like that before. I remember being in a fight with someone at a concert, and I grabbed them by the neck after they did something that they instantly regretted. But once I'd hold them, I was like, "What's my end game here? What is my end game?"
I'm the man who runs them into a wall.
Yeah, or yourself, whatever the mood takes you.
You can find a way,
like bushwhacker style. And because once you've got someone in the headlock, it's just. What are you going to do? Say sorry. Oh, you're hitting yourself. Now, that's what he should have done.
Get the head off.
Look, he's hitting himself, referee. I'm just holding him up. He's punching himself. He will deck himself and drop to the floor.
Definitely makes me think of that with what your Neil would do.
Yeah, without a shadow, without like. Or get them in the headlock and whip the pants down. That's what our Neil would do. Liverpool fans, Chris, are apparently behind the Dele Alli sex tape leak.
It doesn't surprise me.
I don't know if it's true, but I like to think that it is.
Listen, it's brilliant if it is true. It's brilliant. He's just a little prick, isn't he? Let's be honest. A little diving prick. And
we are fan
Liverpool
base.
Fans are amazing.
We got that fella who had like the anti-Hillsborough t-shirt or whatever. It was in the pub, and we found his name out, and he was getting sent 500 bottles of Lilt and all that kind of stuff. And we track planes and we track taxis. And Liverpool fans are when they're incensed, they get behind stuff. And that's why this probably isn't true, but I'm inclined to instinctively believe it.
Just go with it. Yeah. We've got previous when it comes to this type of stuff. And you know what? I'm just surprised he wasn't waving.
It's a wasted opportunity. Why?
He's building the brand, isn't he?
He's building brand alley. There's no commitment to the brand, you know, to be. I think he's gotten distracted, and understandably so. He clearly had some distracting things going on.
But would you, Firmino would still do a mad celebration?
He was, but he probably got a karate kick
in the face.
Yeah, 10 seconds later, yeah! The second video is it upon completion? Yeah. He's
blood
so
on
happy.
The floor.
He's so
scrubbing the blood.
Yeah. Let's not. It'd be funny if Liverpool were the ones who were behind that. But yeah, good stuff. Liverpool has signed a player, Chris.
Woo!
Yeah, another one. We completed the signing of Anderson Arroyo from Fortaleza, but he goes straight on loan.
This
out
kid
to New
is
Yorker.
Absolutely brilliant.
You've got no idea of him.
Never heard of him.
I talked about this the other week. It was like World
Index
Football Index, which is one of the Anfield Index's offshoots. Broke the story a few weeks ago. But yeah, good to see. I mean, the odds of us seeing him play for Liverpool feel. I think they're mutually exclusive events, Chris, because Alan Rodriguez, D'Souza, I think we're out at a point where it's like, yeah, he's never going to play for Liverpool because we've tried for 3 years to get him a work permit and doesn't seem any closer to it. And we remember it happening with Sebastian Leto back in the day. So we don't have a great track record of making these things work for us. That being said, they are mutually exclusive events. So you'd like to think that they've learned enough from this that they've put him on a path.
Where's he from?
Colombia.
Okay. Colombia. I mean, probably an easier route to the first team of Colombia than it is to Brazil.
This is the point. I think he's under 20 international at the moment. You'd like to, that was. I've got no idea who Colombia's fullback situation's like in a wider sense. Even though, as manager of the South American team, I should have a clearer picture. But to be honest, I looked at their team. Saw James Rodriguez, went, he's not better than what I've got, and I moved on from that, which is massive country bias, I admit, but you know what, these are the pressures that come to
short
bear.
Short time frame, games today, you know what I mean, we found out,
exactly. For the future, yeah. We'll let the Harlem Globetrotters, I don't give a shit, I don't give a shit if you still don't get developed. You're right, I'd like to think that theoretically, he's playing for Mallorca, and they're likely to come up this season as well, so they end up in La Liga, maybe there's an option to extend it for another year. He's then playing in a good league, he's getting decent experience, and he might then get some senior call-ups, and that hopefully is the process.
How old is he as well?
I know the answer to that, not off the top of my head. 18, I think I've got in my head. I think that's right. But if anyone's watching and that's wrong and you're shouting at your phone/stereo right now, I apologise wholeheartedly. Do let us know in the comments underneath. Interesting to see. Again, I suspect it might be this time next year before we even remember he exists. If you want more transfer news and discussion, you can do the Reds News Roundup show. We'll be out on the redmentv.com as a podcast, if you want it as a podcast. And if you want to see our wonderful smiling faces, it's me, Chris, and it's Steve Hall returning to the hot seat. So highly recommended. Some chat around, more chat around Roma's Alisson and Demir Bay from Hoffenheim.
What do you want to buy?
I want to buy a Demi. Red News Roundup on the RedmanTV.com. Topic number one then, Christopher Pajac. There was a brief moment, now seems an eternity ago, doesn't it, when we were all panicking about Liverpool's future. And let's not get back into that again. But as of here and now, Liverpool a third in the Premier League table. Draw against Spurs keeps them at bay, 2 points away. Still keeps Arsenal 6 points, I think, behind us. And Chelsea are just imploding. And all of a sudden, you know, it would be nice to see Man United drop a few points, but it feels to me at this point like the league is starting to settle a little bit.
Yeah,
we're starting to get a clearer picture.
One of the reasons I feel the same as that is that the goal difference has got into the right order almost. Mm-hmm. I think Tottenham should be ahead of Chelsea on the goal difference. Yeah. I think I'm right in saying.
There's four goals difference between the two of them.
So, yeah. And it feels like that it feels like Chelsea are on a downward trajectory, mm-hmm. or we're surpassing them, whichever way you want to talk about it. So it feels like right now it's going to be City, United, Liverpool, Spurs, Chelsea.
Yeah.
And I think obviously Chelsea and Spurs are the other way around. I'm not comfortable at the moment because I just don't know what's happening with Chelsea, and they can go from brilliant to fucking shite very quickly, and I think we've just got to take advantage while they're in poor form, because I think Conte will turn that around. Tottenham and us are looking very, very strong, and it's going to be one will just finish above the other, or the other will just finish. They'll just finish above us. I think Manchester United's looking like they're not. It's going to be a tough ask to get
that game.
If we'd have been 3 points behind, you know, if we'd have won against Tottenham,
It
would have massively changed my opinions on it.
I think
5 points is quite a bit.
5 points is. I mean, considering we're talking about Arsenal, it was 6 points behind us as being done, and you know they are 5 points behind Spurs, who are in fourth. You know, if we're thinking we can catch United, and they will surely think they can. But then again, that's on them to think that.
But Arsenal have got the influx of players, and that provides them something. Liverpool haven't had that boost to the squad other than good results. You know what I mean? So
Which will
help just as much as well. But Arsenal have had the good results because they were 8 behind us a couple of weeks ago, and they're starting to catch us, and they've had the 2 players, and the fact that, you know, Ramsey gets a hat-trick, Mkhitaryan gets a hat-trick of assists, Aubameyang, you know what I mean? So they everything seems to be going perfect for them to fuck it up, quite honestly, because that's what Arsenal do.
Yeah.
When everybody thinks that they're about to break out, they fail. It's very, very close, man. It looks right now like Chelsea could be the ones that miss out on top four with Arsenal.
Chelsea have only won 2 of their last 10 games, and only one of them, I've actually got in front of me here, only one of them is in the Premier League. That was Brighton away in that time. They've drawn to Arsenal, drew to Norwich in the FA Cup, drew with Arsenal again, drew with Leicester, drew with Norwich again. Obviously, this is all in normal time for these things. Beat Brighton,
lost to Arsenal in the away in the League Cup, beat Newcastle in the FA Cup because Newcastle are shit. Apart from when they play us,
how many of those lost Prem games
lost
for?
To Watford. So let's see, they played Arsenal, Leicester, Brighton, Bournemouth, Watford, and West Brom's the next one to come. Yes, yeah, so five Premier League games, and they've the only one they've only won one in that time.
Mad, innit?
Well, the thing about it, did you see any of the Conte's post-match stuff from Monday night? His head's gone. It's funny, Ped was talking about it on Social Club this week prior to that game, saying how he just looks like he wants to get sacked, but he just looks so surly. And they did all this talk about, you know, he just normally, like, he's a bundle of energy on the touchline. He's just stood there scowling with his arms crossed, and then he keeps going back to this whole... He basically said post-match, this is what I said was going to happen. I said that, like, and he'd been talking about getting backed, and he basically said, "Look, this is what I predicted." That's just no platform for success in that regard. Because if he's making his excuses, he's saying, "I can't do better."
I've told you. That's all he's saying. Yeah. Like, fans do this all the time, and it's acceptable for fans to do it. Mm. But you've got the reins, you're employed to manage that club, whatever. You know the rules and regulations. If you don't have the players, you've got the players to coach up. You can still affect this thing. And it does feel like it's the beginning of the end for him, certainly.
That's what it's like at that club. I don't know how you repair those issues.
Repair it by getting someone else
exactly.
And buying some more players. That's all they've ever done.
Exactly,
like.
That's the thing. I don't think I'm not sure it's possible to repair it from within, because, as you said, we never know the full set of circumstances around it. You know, we've seen Emanuelo left earlier. Was it earlier on the season or just before the season? He was obviously in charge of the recruitment there. And now Conte's complaining about the recruitment. You're not hiding to nothing. You know, you're going to start basically pointing fingers at the top of Chelsea. Well, you're lucky you don't end up dead, let alone sacked. You know what I mean? So, good. I mean, I don't want him dead, but I do want them annoyed and collapsing, and that would be lovely for us. Because I agree, I think Spurs deserve to finish in the top four. I like the way they play. I like the manager better. I just let them on. And anytime Chelsea slip out, I think is absolutely sensational.
And listen, just to put everything into perspective, I think we finished, was it 14 odd points behind Spurs last season, something like that. You know what I mean? If we can. Just closing that gap would have been good at the start of this season. If we can finish ahead of them, that's a massive season for us, because they finished second in the league twice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And City are changing everything at the moment because of the way that they are and the way that they're building and stuff. And you might just have to sit on your hands for a couple of years, unfortunately. Everybody might just have to sit on their hands and go, we've got to kind of wait this one out, boys, because these are a little bit far ahead of us. Get yourself best positioned after that.
Well, it's interesting though, because even the City stuff, you can see that the, I think we helped, but we've shown that they're not invulnerable. Now, unfortunately, they just built themselves up such a head of steam that it would take an absolute collapse of Newcastle biblical proportions for them to be in trouble now. But look, you know, the Burnley results, they only fielded six substitutes in that game. And I mean, that's a point Pep Guardiola's. It's a stupid way to make a point. You know what I mean? There must be a kid out there that you can throw in there, and he's doing this like thing of, I haven't got enough players and stuff like that. But you look at the quality. The quality was not there on the substitute bench for them for what they had. So it gives hope. You've just got to be, if it's to be us next season, we just need to be just a bit more on it in that regard. And we talked about this a lot, but those. Some people writing articles about it this week, like not throwing away as many leads, but also turning a few of those draws into positive results. I don't think we're miles away. And again, I think football's wonderful. The wonderful thing about football is it's peppered with examples of teams that are supposed to be absolutely unstoppable, and then things bizarrely fall. Like, again, look at Chelsea. There's no reason why Chelsea should be struggling. They won the Premier League last season.
Yeah.
The last time they won the Premier League, they finished fucking 10th the season afterwards. So, yeah, very, 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 very encouraging. And I think the champions, the round of 16, I think we're going to have an almost perfect picture of how the top four race is going to pan out once we get through that round. I don't mean we'll get through per se, but I mean once that round's done, there's some real tough games. Yeah, you know.
I think you're right, and I think I'm right in saying the FA Cup starts up in between those two games, and that will help shape it for us.
Yeah,
hopefully,
absolutely.
Because I think we've got the weekend off after Porto. Is that when the FA Cup games are?
Actually, don't know. I don't know if that's true. But...
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that could help. That could turn into our favour as well. You know what I mean? These guys making sure that they'll be playing two games a week, and we'll have that little weekend to recover after the first leg of Porto. Yeah. Could really change things.
And again, we see this thing as we saw. I saw with Man United last season, as we saw with Liverpool two seasons ago. That there will be.
It's a fork in the road almost.
Yeah,
and you've got to pick one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the club might go. They might look at their injury. You know, Man City are in a fortunate position with the league's. As I said, the league's done and dusted, so they could probably take the foot off the gas in the league a little bit. But hey, that could be very interesting if they're forced to do that because of the injury situation. But yeah, you know, like Man United, we know there's evidence that Mourinho will preference things if things come to it. Will he be?
It already looks like Chelsea will.
Mm. Exactly. You know, and again, we're not even talking about Arsenal. You know, the Europa League, you'd expect them to piss their way through another couple of rounds, but it's still they've still got an extra round of fixtures to play. And also it's Arsenal. So yeah, interesting stuff nevertheless.
The Pep Guardiola stuff, obviously I wasn't here when you were doing Social Club, so it's quite interesting to me. Is this him wearing a Mahrez shirt? Is that all it was?
I think there's a bit of that to it, absolutely. But, you know, because they've had a few injuries. Obviously, Gabriel Jesus is out. You know, Sane's out for a few weeks as well. They've got a... It's crazy. Absolutely crazy when you look at them. But it's proof that even the super club of Man City, who are backed by a fucking country, and they spent all this money, great, well done, good on you. But you get a few... You pick up three injuries, and you're in a massively different outfit.
Is there something to be said for him going... Well, I'm not going to use a young lad, so we may as well play football for the under-23s. Has anyone thought of it from that way?
Yeah, but
we've had I know it's disrespectful and stuff, but you're respecting the player's career more than disrespecting a fucking competition or whatever, you know what I mean?
Maybe. I mean, so, again, we don't know whether there was another 23 games.
We've had times when Grujic is fucking, for example, sat on the bench, and you know he is not getting on that pitch.
The thing is, though, again, without knowing whether there was another thing that they got used for, There's clearly more benefits.
Put a second goalie on.
Whatever, yeah.
Fill it up somehow. You've probably taken three goalkeepers anyway.
No, but you just think about it,
I've done that in Footy Valager.
Yeah, fuck it. You know, but maybe he's saying, I do no goalies, fuck that. Like, you know, you need some goalies.
Me, for when all my players are injured and I've decimated my unders.
Yeah.
My reserve team, I've literally just greyed out people.
But we see it, though, and maybe this is just the nature of how Man City is set up. That, and it wouldn't enter his head that the value to giving a kid that look, even if he's 3 years away from being near it,
if it's 4-0,
we're not even putting him on. Just the experience of being there and getting the feel for the first team. You know, Liverpool always take one or two extra, don't they, on every match day, just so that they're not being dropped in out of the cold when they're thrown into a match day situation. Should it be required? You know, it's not like they didn't have young lads on that bench as well. It's him playing games, which is. But then I'm glad that we don't have to play games. Our manager's not having to play games. There's a degree of harmony that's going on around everything. So yeah, good. Before we crack on, I'm talk a little bit about the winter break stuff that's being reportedly being proposed and being discussed ahead of the new round of TV rights. Chris sat down with Melissa Reddy last week to discuss all things Liverpool Football Club. Some very interesting stuff. Have a listen to this, and then if you love it, listen to more.
Who will Liverpool sign in the summer?
I know quite a few of the names they've looked at or that are under consideration, but... not really fair to say. Well, goalkeepers, we know that they've looked at Alisson for a long time. Stylistically makes a lot of sense. Oblak as well, but there'll be a lot of competition for his services. I think we might see a lot of movement of goalkeepers in the summer because, you know, Courtois hasn't particularly committed yet. Real Madrid are looking for a goalkeeper. PSG might do something. So, I think, you know, whereas the summer centre-back was all the rage, goalkeeper might be the position that people are looking at in the summer. Midfielders, they've looked at.
So, first of all, it was a really, really interesting discussion. We spoke about the transfer window gone. We spoke about the upcoming transfer window as well. She's got a fit. She knows what's going on around Liverpool Football Club. So I found that really interesting, really uplifting as well, because I was in a bad place.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to so many positive people about the footy over the last week and a half, but it was her that was the one who probably dragged me out of it more than anything. So if you've been a bit negative on it, then that's the perfect podcast, because she like really allayed some of the fears that I've had. Also, we've got Sachin Nakrani coming up this week, who you'll have heard from. This is Anfield Index. Apologies. And listen, you can get every podcast now in your Android player or in iTunes and stuff. It's all part of your £5 a month. Using your Redmen TV logins, you get 20 exclusive Redmen TV shows into that podcast app every single month. So if you want more Redmen TV podcasts, redmentv.com is the way to do that.
Beautiful stuff. And yeah, it's worth pointing out, you know, we have a laugh on this podcast. This is the light-hearted stuff. But yeah, if you really need a deep dive into stuff that's going on with Liverpool, whether it's tactics, formation, stats, and of course, you know, the inside track on what's going on from the journalistic point of view and beyond, then yeah, we've got you covered on the redmentv.com. So Chris, it was reported Dan Rowan picked this up for BBC Sport. I think it was this morning or last night, that it's been discussions have taken place. The next round of TV bids or whatever, I think it's maybe 2019 or 2020 that it comes up. There's talk of introducing a January winter break. When I hear winter break, I can't help it, but the football traditionalist in me thinks, oh no, I'm not down for that, because as much as from a working perspective it's a bit of a ball ache, I love festive football. You know, I like the Boxing Day thing. I like being able to sit down with all the fellas in our family and watch the match and what have you. This isn't that. This is talk of it being, we still would get the festive period.
You have to.
But we'd get, to keep that. Yeah, absolutely. But we'd get a break in January. We've seen a number of managers, Rafa's talked about it in the past, Jürgen Klopp's gone on about it. There will be a natural, I think, aversion towards it from the football purists and what have you, because it's a very continental thing to do.
It's Walpole is what it is. It's very Walpole.
Well, it's very Remain, isn't it?
Yeah. Listen, there's a couple. It's quite nuanced, this discussion. One of the things for me is you've kind of got to change some of the competition rules to enforce a winter break, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, the replays and stuff like that in the FA Cup, because ultimately you're still talking about the same amount of games.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the same amount of games in a shorter period of time. Two shorter periods of time rather than one long extended period. Mm-hmm. That needs to have a little bit of thought go into it. You know, it's the three cup competitions. You're going to have European football. Does that winter break mean that when you're playing Champions League quarters and semis, you're getting hit for other fixtures later on in the season? When do these extra games come in? You know what I mean? And I'm sure they'll have spoken about all this stuff. If I can think of some of these things, then these guys will have, but I just don't trust that they'll get this right. So that's why I'm saying my two pence worth. So I have no problems with having a winter break, but I'd really like to see what they're going to do to ease the burden on the players, because putting them through a much harder second period of the season to then get England a little bit of success in the summer doesn't seem like that would work.
It's funny. Much like the VAR discussion the other week, I think there's a cultural change, not just in having one, it's the culture all around football. There's so many things that would need to be changed. And I wonder whether, at the League Cup as an example, there's not many cup, I don't think a lot of the top leagues have another cup competition. Obviously, we know like Scotland have got an equivalent and what have you, but their League Cup's done in like November, I think it's certainly done earlier than ours. Now, I don't know whether the people behind the League Cup will be cool with it being jettisoned, and you know, the idea of getting rid of another piece of silver.
Where would they get their free energy drinks from next year?
It's true, but we have seen this in European competition. You know, what was once the Cup Winners' Cup and the UEFA Cup became the Europa League, so they compacted it down,
kept the same amount of games.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
It's
more from the avenue of having a piece of silverware to lose. I think people wouldn't be keen on that idea, but no one likes the League Cup. Even you win it, it's great. Look, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I've said this time and time again, I wouldn't mind another League Cup win just for the shits and giggles, and just say we've got that pot in the cupboard and what have you. But really, you know, the League Cup shite, and it wouldn't be the end of the world. In 10 years' time, I don't think anyone would miss the League Cup. But the
maybe
if you could give more value to the if it would give more value to the FA Cup, because
you'd have to take the FA Cup seriously all of a sudden if you wanted to win a piece of domestic silverware, certainly. But you're right, there would be a lot of work around it. We're also trying to figure out how logistically it would work. From a Liverpool perspective, and in a wider sense, not something we always talk about, but from an England perspective, do you think it would give an advantage?
I don't think so, to be honest. I think it's the type of football that's played over here, and just the competitiveness of the league, maybe not the quality, but the competitiveness of the league, which hinders us. And I think there's a massive mentality change needed as well if you go into European competition. England are good enough to win a World Cup because they've got good players, mm-hmm. but I don't think they ever believe it. And I think that's a massive thing for English players. I think people are looking for an excuse. Mm-hmm. Why?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
England don't win, and I think they found one, and then they'll quickly realise in 10 years' time that wasn't the fucking reason all along.
Yeah, it was telling, actually. Did you see this stuff on BT Sport last week? And it was Rio Ferdinand, Gerrard and Lampard talking about playing for England.
I did not.
Amazing, like some of the stuff they're doing with that stuff. But Sky on Monday Night Footy and BT on I think, I don't know, it's just the late Saturday game. They basically all admitted that they just didn't give their all for England in that period because they didn't share a bond with the other lads because the club form was so important to them. They couldn't open up and share with these lads because they didn't want to give anything away what was happening in the club. So Gerrard, like Lampard and Ferdinand was saying, we were best mates at West Ham, absolute best mates. But when they got the transfers, and particularly Ferdinand said when he went to Man United, he stopped talking to Lampard because he didn't want to run the risk of Lampard even gaining a glimmer of insight into what was happening at United. So, I mean, I think that remains a problem with the England team as much as anything else, is that club football's become so important that you probably don't care. You know, ultimately, you know, your focus is on your bread and butter, the stuff in the week in, week out. Whereas it was a great point they made. They're saying, I think Gerrard said, Phil Coutinho, as an example, loved going on international duty. It was the best part of his year because they all were separate. They didn't cross over into each other's lives. So it was a big, great get together for them. Whereas England, it was all like the Liverpool lads kept to each other.
As well, as
yeah, you know, exactly. So that I think there's defo deeper rooted problems with the national side as opposed to that. I think that
England players going abroad would have a more positive effect, I think, than absolutely. A winter break.
I think, and I think that that's linked into it to some extent as well. And I think I think on its base level, I think it would help in so much as if all the top leagues in Europe have something similar, and everyone's getting that 2 week time just to let a few wounds heal, just to take it off, and just to recuperate. Then it would have an impact, because again, even if you're still playing the same amount of games, that just taking that break, taking that healing break almost in the middle, means that you're more physically capable of handling what comes in the back end of the season as much as anything else. Like, you know, if your car's fucked and you haven't got time to take it to the garage, then it's gonna continue to get worse up until a point. I think it could help.
You could get rid of those. You know, when you the turn of the year and you get into some good form, you could take the wind out of your sails quite easily with a winter break, couldn't it? Because there are teams that are notoriously slow starters. Mm-hmm. You know, think of Arsenal the last few years. They've always had to work to get into the top four. And, you know, by and large, they have managed to do that. Like, and they've always been excellent in that second half of the year. But, they've almost lost the league in the first 2 months.
Yeah.
I wonder if you'd see teams have those problems coming out of the winter break.
There was talk, wasn't it, that we lost a little bit of fluidity going and doing a little warm weather break or whatever. But obviously the manager swears by it in terms of the team harmony. And building
the fitness up
as well. Look what he did in terms of in Dortmund in his last season when it was going completely tits up. And then you get a chance to go away, reassess, cool everyone down, again, rebond, and then go at it fresh. It's like properly splitting the season into two, as opposed to just being like, oh, we're in the second half of the season. Oh, how do we know? Because we played Swansea a couple of weeks ago. Again, all right, cool, right, sound, keep going then, lads, keep going. If it meant as well that you'd add more football in warmer parts of the year, I don't think that's a bad thing from a fan experience as well, and maybe you might even find that you get the Premier League becomes a little bit more enticing as well, because you're not having to fucking play as much footy in the icy depths of January, and the fact that we've been shit in January for a few years would be a big help. It is a very, very interesting one.
Are you for or against it generally?
What's
your gut?
My gut is that I think it's a good thing. I think you can see, again, it's happening around footy, and I think England gets held back too often because of this notion of, we've always done it this way, it should always be done this way, and we do. And I think to take a bit of decisive action and go, listen, if there's proven, and there will be proven medical evidence that probably backs it up, or, you know, or doesn't back it up. And if there's medical evidence to back it up and say it leads to less injuries, it leads to, you know, just players being more vital come the end of the season, even if it's a fraction, you know, even if it's just a few percent, why would you not? And if you'd asked about your international team, why would you not give it the best possible chance you can give it, basically? What about yourself?
Yeah, I think I'm very much on the fence on it, because I'm quite happy with the way that it is now. I don't really care if England do or don't do well until the tournament actually starts, and then I do.
But for someone who gets dead upset when we go out,
that's what I mean. Right now, we're 6 months away. I don't give a shit.
Let's do this again in June,
In June I'll be like, oh, fucking winter breaks. That's the fucking problem. We need a winter break.
I don't
think it's the reason that England are shit at tournaments, but I think when you've got managers like Jurgen Klopp, when you've got managers like Pep Guardiola, who are very much at the cutting edge of fitness, saying that it's an important thing, I think you should listen to them.
Yeah, no, I think that's an interesting point. But yeah, obviously more as and when we know stuff about that. Some question time then.
Firmino's a fucking ninja.
Bobby needs a song. Interestingly enough,
needs their Bobies.
Yeah, he says, I literally just signed up for Twitter to say this, so that makes sense. Firmino deserves a proper song by now. He's our number 9, he scores boss goals, and he's just amazing all round. Might be our best all round footballer too. I mean, we can do better than the standard Bobby Firmino chant.
He's taken advantage of all 280 characters there, hasn't he? Probably didn't know it used to be only 140. What would he have done?
He's got no idea. Give Bobby a better chance. Hashtag Bobby. Bobby needs a song. I'm all in on this, mate.
And now he has left Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he should absolutely. I just don't think it's that easy. You know what I mean? I think people seem to think that songs have started anywhere other than the away coach or the cop or an away end. It's just not the way it works, generally speaking.
Yes.
We need a new champ for somebody. It doesn't work.
But do you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, for example, songs come out of moments sometimes, don't they? When, like, we beat the shite on a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. It's a brand new song, relatively, you know, last year or so, because we beat the shite on a Wednesday night and they hardly touched the ball. Yeah. I mean, they have to be backed up with something.
Yeah.
You need to do something. I can't believe I'm saying this about Bobby Fino. He needs to do something a bit different,
you know,
but he does different stuff all the time, so I don't think it's ever going
to happen. What he'll do, it's one of those moments, and it's like that light bulb moment. There's a great, it's the film Walk Hard, and it's like a parody of Waterline and Ray and what have you. And it's like where his wife says something, he goes, I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. And he starts thinking, she goes, no, don't you be thinking up a song on the line there. And then it makes it, there's probably a moment when we'll be back in Munich for the semi-finals of the Champions League, and Bobby Firmino will stick it through Hummels' legs, and someone will go, oh, he's done, and someone will say something out loud, and the fella next will go, wait a minute, what did you just say? And he'll go, oh, hum, and it'll be, and then it'll click, and it'll flow.
He absolutely does that, but you know what? I thought Sturridge deserved one as well, and he never got a new one.
Yeah, I'd like to think Firmino's got enough. It's got enough syllables. It must scan into things reasonably well. I think we're fucked because people want it to be Firmino. We need to try harder. We need to be better.
If he read the Beano, we could get something out of that, I'm sure.
Bobby Firmino.
He reads the Beano.
That's terrible. We can work harder too. I would encourage people to send the songs in, but it won't make any difference. What you need to do is set up a dead cool underground fashionable gig in Liverpool. And get someone on acoustic guitar to sing it in front of a load of our reds. And that's the only tried and tested way of late to get it. Because that's where the Jürgen Klopp song come from. That's where the Mo Salah songs come from. Basically, just go to one of the boss nights and get up on stage and have a blast. Do not make a caricature of yourself. Record it and put it out on Twitter, and then try and get it via Soccer M. With the greatest respect to the lad who did that, because he's obviously a top red, like, but yeah, that's not going to work. Mike Holt, Mike_LFC96. We need to do this. This might actually be worth doing a bigger thing on, but we'll just do it briefly here. Now, what are your thoughts on the ticket investigators LFC have hired to help cut out touting? Now, I've not fully looked too much into it, but I think it's the notion that they're trying to cut down on people getting tickets from other than official sources. My gut thing on this, Chris, is that it sounds like a very noble thing to protect people from getting absolutely rinsed and ripped off for tickets. However, and I don't like the non-face value culture of football tickets. But in some instances, they're a bit of a necessary evil. And let's be honest, when you partner with Thomas Cook, who charged fucking masses over the recommended amount for experiences and all that, it feels a little bit like it's not coming from the most noble of backgrounds.
Yeah, that's the issue. That is ultimately the issue, I think. I remember seeing the job spec get put on Twitter a few weeks ago, and then I think it started, didn't it, against Tottenham, where a few people were getting checked on the way into the ground and stuff. And it's a very difficult subject, really, because it's not the lad who's walking in through the door's fault.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yet he's going to be the person who's punished.
Yeah.
Quite often, I don't think the tout will have any problems getting into the game. I don't think that house will have anything done to him.
Mm-hmm.
You are literally just stopping a lad who's paid money to go into the game, getting into the game, and I think that's hard.
Yeah.
And Liverpool and Manchester United have done a lot of stuff around this as well this season, haven't they? Liverpool, I can understand Liverpool have to protect their assets, you know what I mean? They have to protect the brand, and they have to protect the way that they're perceived around the world, and you know, they should want every fan. Listen, it's their fault tickets are really expensive anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They should want them to be paying face value, and I understand that, but the initiatives that they've set up aren't great, you know what I mean? Like, the buy it back and we'll sell it for you. And it's just a little convoluted. You should be able to just pass your ticket on to your mate and say, yeah, mate, go in for me.
And that's the thing. The problem is there's loads of like cultural things, I think, that have been a part and parcel of going the match for ages, is that you don't want good people, honest people who are doing things right, because there's a community of face value ticket, you know, resellers and what have you, people who are dedicated towards making sure people get in the ground for what it's with. No one's getting ripped off. People are just paying, you know, no one's losing money. No one's getting, people are getting in the game. We want to be in the game. And look, there's been situations where we've been so desperate to get in games, we've paid over the odds, well over the odds, to get stuff. It's a massive determination. Now, again, does that then start to preface people who've got a bit more money? Yeah, it does. It's a very difficult situation, I think, to manage. And the problem is that my concern is that it won't be handled with as much nuance as it possibly requires. And then we're on a path to, as you say, someone who's just a lovely person whose dream it is to go to Anfield. They pay face value for a ticket off someone and they get stopped and they get told they can't go in Anfield because they couldn't get a ticket to get in the game. They didn't sign up for membership in time. They didn't build up enough points. We're going to stop people from going to the game.
Some lads travelled 3,000 miles and spent how many thousand pounds and managed to pick a ticket.
On the flip side of it, it's a young local lad who can't get on the season ticket waiting list because it's been shuffled, whatever, and he gets, you know, a friend of a friend manages to get him a ticket and he gets stopped.
Absolutely. How many times... when we started having a season ticket, I would be working in the restaurants and stuff. So I started sharing it with my dad, you know what I mean? And my dad was paying for the ticket for us, and I get it when I was off and stuff, and you can't even do that no more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, how many times you used to go on when your Uncle Mark maybe or someone wasn't there and you get to sit next to your dad or something like that? You can't do that. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I mean, again, we're not suggesting that Liverpool haven't thought of any of the things that we've mentioned here, by the way. You know, there's I think we're seeing a lot of much better stuff done with Tony Barrett and the interaction they're getting with various fan groups and whatever. So it's probably not necessarily, it's not as, they're not going to blunder into this as much as they have done in years gone by. It's just worth mentioning there's a few obvious issues there and my fears that, and hopefully they can be allayed by being handled again reasonably well. Ethan Golding, the _idiot_kid. Hi guys, Ethan here, long time listener, first time tweeter. This is his voice, by the way.
It's because his name's Ethan.
Sure. I'm so sorry, Ethan. If you could take the essential body part of a celebrity, singer's voice, musician's hands, footballer's feet, etc., and obtain their talent, Philip J. Fry, Grossback Robot, Devil style, I don't get that reference, but that's fine, whose would you take and why?
I struggled massively with this question.
I didn't.
I struggled absolutely massively because there's just so many things that I'd really like to be dead good at, like, you know what I mean? And then I thought to myself, do I want something that I can change the world? And I can do. I was like, nah, I want something cool, though. And I like, you know what I mean. And then I started thinking about, you know, when you're down the rabbit hole on Facebook, and you end up somewhere that you've never been before, and you instantly regret it because you're in the middle of a fucking slideshow. Anyway, and I was reminded of this Russian girl called Natalia Demkina, who is also known as X-ray Girl, because people believe that she's got actual X-ray powers.
Right.
And if I remember,
she looks at you for too long, you get cancer.
No, and a different type. So they tested it out because people from her fucking town or village were kept going to her and saying, what's wrong with my body? And she'd tell them what was wrong with the body and they get fixed and all this type of stuff. And there's a bit of fucking hoodoo and blah, blah, blah. Like, so they decided to test this theory out and they got six people and they gave her the things and said, go on, tell us what's what. So one had like a metal plate in their head and one had like cervical cancer and one had this. And she got four of the six, right? In fairness, although she did get the cervical cancer mixed up with the metal plate in her head. So, I mean, if you've got X-ray vision, I think that's a big mistake, personally.
Then
I was like, oh, maybe not her. And then I was like, well, what else?
What else?
And then I was thinking to myself, like, well, I've got a wand of a left foot, so if I get somebody met Ronaldo's right boot, we could have a player there. And I was like, no, it's football. I'm too fat, whether I have his good feet or not. There's fucking nothing else I can do there. So I was like, well, you could be a chef, couldn't you? You know what I mean? Like, and then I was like, what makes a chef good? Well, it's the taste buds. And I was like, you know what? I'd love to be in a, like, the world's top chef, but I do feel it'll be a blessing and a curse at the same time, because I enjoy a Mackey's, maybe I'd eat a Mackey's, you know, yeah, what I mean? You're going from like 3-star fucking chefdom to eating the shit I eat
and also
at midnight.
On the chef thing, I guess, you look at like Anthony Bourdain must have no taste buds because he smokes that much. Like, so yeah, it's probably not essential to be in a top chef. So, you've already got the asbestos skin of a chef.
And then I was like, you know what, I could just be like a fucking Tony Hawk style skater.
So,
and then I was like, go ahead, you could fucking, just a wicked trick, just one wicked trick, it'd be amazing. And I was like, but then I'd really like to be a good songwriter, so I went with Dylan, McCartney, Lennon, someone like that.
What makes them a good songwriter? What body part makes them a good songwriter?
I'm assuming
brain.
The brain.
Right, okay.
I don't know. Do you know what I mean? These are the struggles that I have. Maybe I should just be able to make a fucking decision. And whoever can make a decision, maybe I've got John Moss's decision making where I can just fucking say penalty when it's not a fucking penalty and I'll be sound.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay, great. As you were talking, I saw a video, I think it was Lee Fulcher, but I had on Facebook today, it was Rodney Mullins' Tony Hawk's intro video. So I was watching that and I was like...
Rodney Mullins is the one now, apparently, isn't he?
My lad's just got his first skateboard and I've never been able to skateboard because I'm too tall and a lot of it's just in having a low centre of gravity, which I don't possess. So I've always wouldn't have minded that. But no, mine was and always will be. It was, take your pick, because I was going to say Chris Brown's legs as inability to dance, but also I'm not sure I want the association with Chris Brown because he's an absolute fucking blurt, isn't he? So like Timberlake could do. Like, you could have Timberlake voice, but someone like that, like, or Usher, someone who's got that ability to move their legs in that way.
That's a transferable skill. I mean, I'm thinking football, that could be really handy, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that, you see some of the like people who are just amazing at dancing and they can just move their legs in ways like that. Yeah, something like that would be pretty cool. Because I'm, yeah.
Is that what you went with?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's what I would go with.
I just never have had you as picking dancing as the talent that you want.
I'm a decent dancer already, like, but it's. I've got natural rhythm. He knows it's true.
Video gags, sign up to the website.
Yeah. Thank you very much for sending your questions in this week. What body part of a celebrity would you like to have? Let us know in the comments. Best thing for you to do is get over to theredmentv.com if you enjoy this podcast. And if you want more, we've got every aspect of Liverpool Football Club covered at the moment. Really taking a step up this so far this year. As we mentioned earlier, you've got Chris talking to journalists and respected people close to the Liverpool world for the Inside Track. Chris is doing a phenomenal stats and tactics show of late as well, really working out where Liverpool are winning and losing games. So if you really want that detailed analysis, we've got that as well. And we've got a whole ton of extra features as well, interviews with Liverpool players, past and present. Very, very good. I'm so very proud of what we do. And as we always say as well, it helps make the free stuff possible. So if you're enjoying this, and listen, if you just want to keep trying on the free stuff, you can do. But if you've been doing this for a while now and you still really like these guys, what can I do to give something back? Become a Redmen TV supporter. Supporters get a free month to try it all out, and then it's just £5.
And listen, listen, we know that not everybody's going to be able to afford £5 a month, and that's cool. But if you could just teach me how to skate and Paul how to dance, we'd accept that.
We'd accept that in kind. Yeah, payment in kind. Thanks very much.
Dele Alli style.
Dele Alli style. Guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching.
Even on a budget. Quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.